Blog Talk Radio.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I go ahead and take those and get those settled. So give me 2 minutes and we'll be back live.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair, she broke your throne, she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe I have been here before. I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march, it's a cone and it's a broken hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There was a time you let me know what's real and going on below, but but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God above, and all I ever learned from love was how to shoot at someone who outdrew you. And it's not a cry you can hear at night, it's not somebody who's seen the light, it's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
And that was Hallelujah by Rufus Wainwright. And I also love the Jason Castro version, don't you?
I do. I love it.
My absolute favorite one.
Well, so now you have back from your long flu and your vacation. It seems like it's been like a month now.
I know. It's been like forever, hasn't it?
It has. It has. But tell me a little bit about your vacation. I know you had the flu terribly. You missed your show, and I know all your listeners were upset with you not being here, so but we want to hear about your vacation. So tell
vacation
us.
Was great. First of all, I'll say is I want to thank all the well-wishers when I was down with the flu. It was not fun. I know that you had to get on, was it last week? And
I did.
The week before and just say I couldn't. And I'm really sorry. When you called that night, I literally had earbuds in my phone from my iPhone because I couldn't lift my arms and hold up the phone. I was too exhausted.
Oh, I know. You sounded horrible.
I know. Yeah, you made me feel really good. You're like, oh, you sound awful.
Because you sounded like a frog.
Yeah, well, it probably felt like a frog that was roadkill. But I just want to thank everybody because I got so many emails and everything, and I really did appreciate it. We did go, you know, we were celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary.
I know, and I meant to say that happy anniversary.
Thank you. And that, you know, the thing is I got married when I was 7, so, like, I'm still really young.
Uh-huh.
Let's all go with that. Yeah, sure. But, it was really great, and we had a great time. We went to Tennessee and Pigeon Forge, and we went to Gatlinburg, and then we went to North Carolina, to Asheville, and
the
Biltmore, which, you know, I want to tell everybody that's my summer home. Like, I took pictures in front of it. You know,
I have always wanted to go there.
It's really neat, and you want to know something that's really funny?
What?
I found out after I got back that my dad had been there 3 days before.
Oh, no way.
How odd is that? He hadn't intended to go, and I didn't tell him we were going to North Carolina. I just said we were going to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. So it kind of, you know, it would have been so weird to, like, run into my own father.
Wow,
and,
small
you know,
world, right?
Yeah, that was kind of cool. That was kind of neat. So it was all a good time. It was really a good time. And how has your couple of weeks been?
Actually, I have been sick this past week because apparently you passed it along to me, which is really sweet of you.
I know. I'm sorry. You know, my husband got it the day we got on vacation. He came down with the flu. It was not good. He missed the first 3 days of our vacation, which just meant that we got to go to the outlet store. So it was good.
Girls' time.
It was girls' time. So it was a lot of fun, and we had a good time. But you know what? Tonight we've got a great topic, and I'm really kind of excited about it because I think it's a topic that everybody could kind of relate to. You know, when one door closes in our life and another opens, how do you recognize it? How do you recognize opportunities? So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And, of course, we're also going to be taking live calls and doing live mini readings, and that call-in number is 323-679-0882. So please, when you call in, you don't have to give your last name because I want this to be discreet, but do give your real first name. And these are considered mini readings because – you know, reading's personal, and I want to be very discreet, and there are many things that I will not want to talk about live over the air. So I will give certainly some good information, but I will keep it on the conservative side so that you can get the answer that you need, but I won't dig too deeply because I don't want to encroach on your privacy. All right. So, and hey, guess what? Father Bob Bailey, who is on TV all the time. You see him on Paranormal State and The Haunted. He is an actual Catholic priest from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. He's a Roman Catholic priest. He's going to be on our show on May 18th, so I want everybody to mark
your
calendar.
That's going to be a great show.
It's going to be such a good show. I'm so looking forward to it because he's such a wealth of knowledge on so many things. You know?
And I have a lot of questions for him, and I really admire him, so it should be a great show.
It should be a great show, and I want to tell our listeners, please, please, any questions that you have, we want to compile them before that happens, before that date. So please send in all your questions. You can go to my website, drginny.com, and when you go there, just go ahead and send any questions that you may have regarding Father Bob Bailey and some questions that we can ask him. I know we've got a lot, but I know our listeners probably have a lot too. So so we can get them all together. We want to put them all together before he's on because we don't want to wait till he calls in and then kind of be bouncing all around.
Right.
We want to really focus on him when he calls. One of the things that I know he's going to be talking to us about that I have a great interest in, I know a lot of the people that I do consultations for do as well, you know, how people who have crossed over, people have passed away and crossed over, you know, a lot of times in the Catholic religion, you know, in the Bible, there are certain places where it says that, you know, people can't come back.
Right.
And yet so many of us know that we do talk and we have heard from or felt the presence of our loved ones, you know,
right,
in certain situations and how that could be. And that actually is something that happens, and it's something that Father Bob will be able to talk about, and it's called a permissive will, and it's something that God allows, and it's like having a two-way street from heaven and back here, so it's kind of neat, and I'm really looking forward to him, you know, coming on, so that should be pretty good. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to run down to our mailbox because we're going to go ahead and talk about our topic right now, when one door closes and another opens, how to recognize opportunity. And we are going to go check the mail from all the people that sent in the questions from the last 2 weeks. So I'll be right back. Okay, you know I love that. I can't help it. It's my favorite.
Scary Witch mailbox.
I know it's childless and immature, but I love it. So just let me have a little fun. Okay, so here, these are all the emails. I'll just put them on the table here.
Wow.
Go ahead and take a look.
Got a big response, huh?
I know. Go ahead and read the top one.
Okay, let me see here. Okay, this is a good one. This is from Wanda L. from Jacksonville, Florida. She says, "Hi, I can't wait to hear the show this week because I just lost my job and got out of a long-term relationship, and I'm waiting for that new door to open. How will I know?"
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. And,
yeah,
and you know how many other people are going through that with their jobs, with the economy the way it is right now.
And it always seems like when it rains, it pours.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, when one thing goes wrong, it just seems like the domino effect takes place. And actually, there's a theory behind that, and we're going to talk about that tonight, too, about how we sometimes, when something goes wrong, we just start expecting other things to go wrong. And I don't want to say we manifest the negativity to happen, but because we're expecting it, you know, it sort of happens sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you're driving down the road and you're so sure you're going to hit a pothole,
mm-hmm.
you hit a pothole every time.
That's true.
You know, because in your mind, that's what you think you're going to do. So we're going to talk about that in just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, here is another one. It says, "Hi, Dr. Ginny and Miss Jessica." That's you. "Don't have anything to say about the topic. Just wanted to say I really enjoyed listening to you on the show and thought your food tips were really great. Ah, KM from Edison, New Jersey." Well, thank you, KM. I thought the food tips were interesting, too.
Oh, me too.
I've actually utilized those when we were away on vacation trying to, you know, so we had a couple of times we, especially in traveling, we went to McDonald's and did the whole oatmeal thing.
And isn't it good?
It was really good. I was really surprised.
And I actually had it for breakfast on my way to work today and did not spill it on myself.
Oh, good. Very good. I mean, because I know you. So.
Yes, and that's an amazing feat.
That's terrible. I shouldn't say that. And I'll let you go ahead. I'm going to say something. I may at one point put a throat lozenger in, because anyone who's had this flu knows that cough stays with you for about a month. So if you hear that clicking around, I do apologize, but I don't want to start coughing while I'm doing this tonight. You got another email
yeah.
there. Grab it.
Here, let's read this one. This is from Ruby from Baton Rouge. Okay. My name is Ruby, and I was wondering if you know how to get my man back if I quit cheating on him. Will he come back, or should I just keep cheating? Well, there's an interesting question.
Well, okay. First off, Ruby, let me take a look at that. From Baton Rouge, it's Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay. Here's the thing, Ruby. What I will tell you is that if you're cheating on your man, I don't think that you either respect your man or yourself.
Right.
And the reality is, you shouldn't be cheating, period. You should have an open communication. If you decide that you want to be with one man, be with one man, but be with one man, not being with one man and cheating on him with another man. So the answer is he should come back if you want him back and if you decide that you're not going to cheat anymore. Because you know what? Having one foot in one pool and another foot in the other pool, you don't get your bathing suit very wet, do you? It's not good. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't know what kind of analogy that was.
I
wish
say,
I
that
had
was
said
an
it.
Interesting analogy.
Just move right along. That was a kind of an odd analogy. Okay, let's talk about this. And remember, we're going to be doing the mini reading, so go ahead and call in at 323-679-0882. And we will be doing those tonight, and our chat room is open, and it's live. And so go ahead and log on there, and we'll try and get your questions answered in the chat room. I know that we've got Susie in the chat room tonight who's going to be helping people out a little bit, because sometimes it's hard for us to bounce back and forth, but she said she'd help us out there, and I really do appreciate that, Susie. What I want to talk about tonight is when one door shuts and another opens, and you know, when a door slams shut in our face, sometimes it can be really fast, like sometimes with a relationship that can fall apart unexpectedly, or maybe a sudden health issue that wasn't foreseen but all of a sudden is there. Sometimes they close very quickly, and sometimes they close very, very slowly. And when they close slowly, we try to hold them open. It's kind of like we'll stick our foot in the jam and say, this is going to happen. I'm not going to let this door slam shut on me. And you know, it could be you're downsizing, your company's downsizing, and suddenly you're forced out, or the slow decline of a marriage or relationship. Or it could be, you know, unfortunately, the demise of a loved one from a terminal illness. And we don't want to let that door close. And when it does, we cling to it like a lifeboat in a stormy sea. And that's understandable, but we don't want to let it go. And we're not looking anywhere else but at that shut door. You know, it's like it takes all our focus, all our energy, literally so much energy that sometimes we don't have the energy to get through the day. And I know a lot of people that are listening understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know, when that door shuts, we'll, like, run up to it. We'll grab it by the door jamb. We clutch it. We nurture it. You know, we fertilize it. We water it with our tears. It's the fact is, when those doors close, nothing's going to make a change. It's closed. Now, if we're really lucky, some of us have a great support network around us to help us through, you know, these times. But, you know, even with the biggest and strongest support network, we can feel pretty lonely, almost as if no one was really there, because in our hearts we know that no matter what anyone else has gone through, this situation is different because this time it's happening to us. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It can be really tough. And you know, when a door shuts, it's like going through a grieving process. So I think a lot of times people think, well, the door shut, now I have to find another door right away. But it really doesn't work that way. You know, if you've been in a relationship for a long time, or you've had a job for a long time, or you were emotionally connected to something that's suddenly stripped away from you, it's anticipated and expected that you're going to go through a grieving process. It's no different than if somebody passes away. And whether it's a job or a relationship or a financial problem or a plethora of other things, plethora, my dad would be very happy that I said
that word.
It's normal and expected to go through the grieving process, but that's what it is. It's simply a process. And you have to emerge from that process, you know, with forward movement. And it's funny because if you look up the word process in the dictionary, and I did, and what it says, it's a series of actions that produce a change or development, a forward movement over the course of time. Okay, and I just read that exactly as I looked it up today. So it is a process. But the problem is if we're so busy nurturing that closed door, we're not going through the process that we need to go to. We're nesting in front of the door. It's shut, it's locked, it's sealed, it ain't opening. And that's not forward movement, and that's not producing any change.
Right.
You know, and so yes, we grieve the loss we've experienced. Again, whether it be financial, relationship, or employment-related, but then it's time to move forward. And this is where some folks have kind of a difficult time. Some of us will not even look away from that closed door. And I can appreciate that. And I think you know, have you ever had a time in your life where you had a door that closed? And you know?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I went through a divorce and a loss of a long-term job all within 1 month.
Yeah.
So that was tough. And,
yeah.
You know, I think change is the toughest thing to go through, and especially when it all hits you at one time.
And did you find that you kind of shut down for a while?
I did.
You?
Yeah. I did for probably 2 months. I really didn't know what to do. And I ended up going to counseling just because I just felt lost. And
of course.
It definitely helped. I mean, if anybody out there is thinking about counseling, I am a firm believer in it. And, you know, and Dr. Ginny is here to help you guys through all these things. And that's, let me tell you, having that ear to talk to you and help you through the rough times, it really does help.
I know that it can be really hard, and that's kind of like a grieving process that you did go through, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. And so it's okay to wrap yourself around that for a couple of months. I mean, it's okay. It's expected. So I don't want people to think that they're supposed to, like, all of a sudden, okay, that door shut. Now I got to go find the new door. Because, you know, you've got to get accustomed to that a little bit, okay? But one of the reasons why people don't want to move on is because they're fearful of what moving away from that door means.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because at least you know what you had before.
Well, and it's comfortable.
Right. And what we know is comfort. It's, you know, why do we not like moving around in the dark? It's, you know, do we really believe in boogeymen? Do we really believe that, you know, Jack the Ripper is going to jump out of our closet at night?
I sure hope not.
Well, I hope not, too. And I mean, probably it's not going to happen, right? But just the fact that you can't see it, it's the unknown.
Right, right.
So it's that fear of the unknown. And it's scary to take on new people or a new job or a new relationship. And, you know, but gosh, here's the thing. Who knows what we're going to get? The unknown can be a scary thing, but if we refuse to look away from the door because of basic fear, then we never get to experience the happiness that we're going to find at new doors. And that's kind of important. You know, I think that you probably can, even recently, I think of an example where someone, you know, has decided to move forward, but instead of following what I call their own God-given GPS system. And this is something I've talked about before. A lot of my clients have heard me say this. God has given us a state-of-the-art, super-duper, deluxe version, platinum internal GPS system. And I call it God's positioning system. And the good part about that, it's that inner voice, it's that inner intuition that we all have. And I've tried to share with people that what I do, everyone has the ability to do. They may not understand it, and that's where spirit guides and angels come in, because they can actually decipher the instruction manual on how to use that GPS that God has given us.
Right.
But it's kind of like if you were to walk into a room and everybody was speaking Baklavakian. Now, I made that name up. Okay.
Is that a new country?
It's a new country. Baklavakia, and they bake cookies. Baklavakia. but no, if you want, and everyone was talking Baklavakian, you wouldn't know what they were saying, so you wouldn't understand it.
Right.
You know, so you can't really benefit or socialize or move forward with that. But if suddenly you now could understand Baklavakian, guess what? You can then socialize, you can move around in a bigger social circle, and all kind of really good things will happen. So I think that's important. I think that knowing that we have an internal GPS system and knowing that the angels are there to help us interpret how to make that GPS system work is a good idea, you know. And you know, let me ask you this. Have you had a thing recently where a door closed and you had to go into a new door really quickly, one that maybe you didn't want to go into?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know, because we talked about it, and I know you're kind of hesitating, but I know why. When you wanted your company downsized and then went bankrupt.
Right.
And then you had to go out and find a new job really quick.
I did. Unfortunately, financially, you know, and most of us are in the same boat, you can't afford to just wait for that job that you're qualified for and the one that's going to pay you the kind of money that you deserve.
Right.
And unfortunately, I had to kind of take the first thing that came along, and not exactly my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that, and I totally get that. And
mm-hmm.
It's not what you were looking for. It's kind of like sometimes, and this is the point that I was trying to make, we can either stay with the door that's shut and not focus anywhere else and not go through the process,
right,
which is ultimately moving forward, or what we do sometimes is we start slamming doors open that aren't meant to be open, that aren't doors for us. But we're just like going through like bull in a china shop because we need to find that door quickly because, hey, one door shut, so where's the other one? It's got to open now, right?
Well, then you can make a lot of mistakes doing that.
Well, exactly. So we force the door open. And in your case, you know, sometimes a job that does pay doesn't pay what it should, but that you know you need, and it might make you unhappy, but you know what? The fear of not paying your bills is even greater.
Oh, yeah.
So we run around pushing on all the doors we can find, just waiting for one to give just a little so that we run through it. You know, we get what we want quickly, but we're probably not always thinking of the consequences. And I think sometimes what's really important for everyone to realize is it's okay to look for the opportunities, right? You have to, because life circumstances don't allow us the luxury of just sitting back and saying, well, I'm just going to wait till something rolls along. You know,
right.
I'm waiting
and
for a job to show
that
up at my front door. And it doesn't work that way. It's, you know, it's the same way. I hear this a lot when I do consultations. Often when a relationship falls apart, people have a tendency to quickly want to get into another one, because their biggest fear is that they will end up alone. You know, so instead of taking their time and making sure they get involved in a relationship that's happy and it's healthy and making sure they don't duplicate perhaps the past mistakes, you know, that maybe made them not have a good relationship, they tend to jump into one or several other relationships really quickly, thinking they have to make up for the time that they lost in the last relationship that ended up going nowhere, you know.
Right.
And that's forcing a door open to another relationship that's probably destined to fail because it didn't come about the right way. It's, you know what it's like? It's kind of like trying to force the wrong size plastic lid onto your Tupperware container. You may shove it on and you know, work really hard and get it down, but you know that a few minutes or hours after you put it in the fridge, that sucker's going to pop right off and your food's going to spoil, you know? And in essence, it's another door that was forced open, but it really shouldn't have been. You know, I kind of look at it that
way.
Right,
true.
So when we see these type of things happening, you sit there and you wonder, what the heck's going on? It seems like everything's going wrong at once. You know, now that door's shut, now this new relationship's not working or this new job's not working, and you're thinking, you know, how am I gonna recognize real opportunity? How am I gonna recognize, you know, when something is in front of me and I'm supposed to take advantage of it? And
I think that's the tough part.
That is the tough part. That's the part that's probably, I would say, the hardest part is saying, okay, now I need to find this opportunity, and I need to have the patience to let it come to me,
right.
But I have to keep my eyes open at the same time. And that's what we're going to talk about as soon as we come back. Be back in two.
I wouldn't forget you, and so I went and let you go.
Sister by Train, one of my absolute favorite songs. And I'll tell you what, before we continue on with our topic for tonight, I'm going to take a live caller because I was just informed by a producer somebody has an early class in the morning, and I don't want to make them wait. Hi, you're on live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. This is Dr. Jenny. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Jenny. This is Jim, and actually my class is at 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Well, then, did I make it in time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got
great.
At least 15 minutes.
Wonderful.
I went through a change, and I had took a break from life for a while, and I'm ready to re-enter life, and I am a songwriter, a Christian contemporary songwriter, and I think my music's healing music, but I have a feeling that I should be going in a different direction, but I'm unsure how to proceed, and I'm wondering what you think.
Okay. The first thing I want to tell you is you say that you think that your music is healing. I think you know that your music is healing. Am I correct?
Is it? No,
it is.
I don't. I mean, it's very spiritual, so I mean, mm-hmm. if spirituality is healing, yes.
I think spirituality is always healing, and I think okay. I think that I'm going to tell you that this is kind of what we're talking about tonight. When we have a sense that what we do can help others and can heal them in a way that we don't quite understand, but we know in our hearts, you know how you just know that it's working? You know that if you play your music for somebody, they're moved on a certain level, and you can't explain how it's healing them, but that you know it's having some kind of intrinsic positive effect on their life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yes, but, okay, there's one variable there that I'm interested in trying to discuss with you.
Okay.
Should the music that I do, I realize that it's, should I continue to do the same type of music, or should I try to incorporate healing tones in my music?
You need to incorporate the healing tones, because in order to move it forward, you're kind of, I see you're stuck at a plateau. Is this correct?
I guess at a plateau. I've created a lot of really good music that I haven't actually tried to market yet.
Okay. And in order to bring it out to, if I may, mainstream it, not quite mainstream as far as music go, but mainstream it so that you can make it more marketable, the intended purpose, I think, for you is to utilize it as healing music by adding toning qualities to it, correct?
I was thinking of moving from what I do now to just more tone, like doing, right now I actually write and play music, you know, similar to the Alleluia. I'm very much like a line of Chris Tomlin.
Okay, yeah, okay, perfect.
As an artist. And I sing and perform like that now, but I'm wondering if I should skip being a vocalist and go to like pad music, more like singing bowls where you are, it's just sound.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I actually have a chakra healing center, so I'm very familiar with singing bowls, and Tibetan singing bowls in particular. And I can tell you that I am sensing in you a healer quality, okay? So I've probably maybe not communicated it the way that I needed to. What I'm saying to you is I see you doing healing quality music, and I see that that is something that the market severely needs. And I feel that that's a place that you can fill what your blessing is, what your gift is. Now, I'm not telling you not to continue with your other music, but what I'm saying is I think that you need to fulfill that blessing that's been bestowed upon you, which is the ability to create healing-toned music. I think that's very, very important.
Okay. I have looked at crystal bowls and Tibetan bowls, and I just don't feel like that is my calling, but I do feel I could do pad music or on the piano or keyboard where I could do tone quality music. But I don't, you know, I have to put it in the faith of God or the Creator, because I don't think I have the ability to do that kind of music on my own.
Okay.
But
let me ask you this. I do know exactly what you mean. You know, one of the next things that I was going to be talking about this evening, the next topic, was how people create opportunities for us. Now, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your social circle.
Okay.
How is that going?
It depends how you perceive it. I'm a loner. I like it, though.
I know you do, but the reason why I asked how that was going is I think there was a point a little while back where you thought you were going to try and change that.
I did. I almost got involved with a woman, and then I backed out of it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know you had
I did like her and everything. I just don't feel like I'm trustworthy enough in my own.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, and you don't need to say anything else. I understand that. But I think that you need to expand your social circle a little bit, because not only can you benefit from what others can bring to the table, they can benefit from what you can bring to the table as well.
Okay. So any ideas how?
Yeah. I know that there's some meetup groups where you are. Have you ever typed in meetup.com?
No.
The computer. Okay. I would suggest you
wrote
do that.
Wrote it down right now.
Okay, great. And look under some of the titles that you're interested in, music composition, etc. Look under metaphysics, musical metaphysics. I think what you might find are metaphysical. You'll find people who have similar interests, who also will understand exactly where you're coming from. And then I think that sometimes it takes two to make a complete body of work. But I really urge you to pursue the healing aspect, because I've never spoken to a healer that is very successful today in healing people who didn't have that feeling early on. And they kind of, I always say, ignored it. It wasn't so much ignored it, but they didn't know how to embrace it. So I want to make sure that you don't ignore it and that you do try to embrace that.
Okay. Yes, because information has been coming to me, actually, subsequently, you know, out of the blue about I just got the new chakra healing ascension tones.
Right.
And so I have started. I just don't
Wonderful.
Know if... where I should be going, though.
I think, you know, I think there's lots of different ways that you can go with that. And I also think that because you don't feel that you have the ability to put it together completely yourself, which I understand, that's where maybe bringing a partner in with similar interests can help you. And also, if you get a chance, drop me an email through my website. Because I may have an idea for you for that, okay?
Okay.
I may be able to help you further that a little bit.
Very cool.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Do good in class.
I did all my homework, and it was 10 pages.
Oh, God bless. Good for you. Thanks so much for calling in. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay, great. That was Jim. Thank you. I appreciate that call. That was interesting. You know, it's something I have to say. Anyone who I know that works as a healer today, at some point in time early on, had this feeling that they had the ability to heal. They didn't understand it, and they didn't know how to do it, and they didn't know how to make it happen. But they all had, at some point in time in their late teens and early 20s, they said they had this. They felt like they could heal people, and they said that they thought that sounded crazy, so they didn't want to share it with others. But I think that certain people are blessed with that ability, and if you have that feeling, then it means that you have certain abilities. and you need to really, I like to encourage people when I hear that because
yeah, that's awesome.
It really is. And matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about somebody that I met when I was on vacation in just a minute who was a healer, and she does miracle work.
Really?
I mean, absolute miracles, yeah. Anyway, everybody, you're on live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. Dr. Ginny, I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jessica, and we are taking live calls and doing mini readings tonight. We're also talking about our topic, which is when one door closes and another opens, how to recognize opportunity. We talked about how sometimes a closed door can represent unhappiness, but only when we're really willing to move our eyes do we see happiness in new doors. And we may not see that right away. There are always an unlimited number of new opportunities, but we have to go about our lives knowing that by closing one door, we are creating an opportunity to open another in the future. And many of us want to keep that door open, and we have trouble letting go. You know, we don't want to close the door when it's time to close it. So, you know, when we garner the strength and courage to close the door, we're going to experience different emotions. There are fear, doubt, uncertainty. We wonder if we made the right decision. And the passing of time, thank God, I mean literally thank God, the passing of time allows us to come to a peace with what we've decided. We have no idea, really. We have no idea how things are going to play out. But we have to know that what we did will allow us to move forward. And that's part of that process I was talking about. And people are convinced that the only way to move forward is to push and knock down the next door. But in the end, that doesn't always take us where we want to be either. Because if we start just trying to force doors open, then we're forcing it. And that's not the answer either. We need to accept the space between the doors closing and opening and recognize that it doesn't always happen at once. You know, by understanding that life gets greater as we live it and not fretting about what has or hasn't happened, we can allow ourselves to experience each and every day. When we're waiting for another door to open, we're letting ourselves know that we have trust in our decisions, and ultimately, in the end, we're going to get really what we need. You know, I don't know if you remember, there was a movie, a scene in the movie Evan Almighty. I don't know if anyone out there has seen. Have you seen that movie?
I love that movie.
It was really good. And God appears to Evan's wife. Her name was Joan. And she's unaware that it's actually God, you know, because that would kind of be interesting. Oh, gosh, God, dinner for two, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but it was God. And God appears to offer some advice to her in regards to her husband's sudden obsession with building an ark. I don't know if you remember that. And she obviously thinks he's gone off the deep end, and she doesn't really know what to make of Evan's claim that God wanted him to build the ark. And God responds to her that what he actually sees is an opportunity. And I remember when I watched this movie, I was, at that moment he said this, I was like, this is what everyone needs to know. This is like one of the best lines of any movie I've ever heard. Because he said to Joan, he said, let me ask you something. If somebody prays for patience, do you think that God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? Okay, if a person prayed for courage, does God give him courage, or does he give him the opportunities to be courageous? If somebody prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings, or does he give them opportunities to love each other? The thing is that earlier in the movie, Joan actually prayed for the family to be closer, since Evan was always busy working, and now he was even busier because he was like a congressman or something, and she failed to realize that God was answering her prayers in a way she didn't expect. And after this revelation, she and the three sons return back to Evan, and they help him finish constructing the ark. And, of course, you know, it's a happy ending. But I think it was such a poignant part of the movie, because God doesn't just, you know, when you pray for money, God doesn't just slap a brick of money on your doorstep. But what he will produce is an opportunity for you to earn that money. And that's what we have to get busy recognizing, how to learn and to see opportunities. I've been practicing this since I can remember, because I guess I spoke Baklavanian or whatever that was I said you can speak. I'm going to share this with you. When I was in the Biltmore, we went as a family. We were going to go out and have lunch. And we're at the Biltmore, you know, and it's the Vanderbilt estate. And so there was some new shops in town that had a bistro, and So we went behind the Biltmore and went over there and went to eat. And it was like $16 for a hamburger.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I'm not going to pay $16 for a hamburger. Well, maybe that makes me frugal. Maybe it makes me cheap. But I just, for me, I just thought I'm not going to pay that. I said, I want to go to downtown Asheville anyway. So took the family into downtown Asheville. And I want you to connect the dots with me here. So we go, and we found this cool restaurant that was German-oriented, and my husband's German, so it was perfect. We went in, it was great, and had a great lunch. And now we're getting ready to make the long drive home, all right? So my husband says, I'm going to go get the car. And I said, okay, you know, and I saw this Native American jewelry store next to the restaurant. I said, I'm just going to run in here with the girls real quick. And we go into the shop. And you enter the doors, and suddenly I see all these wonderful crystals, citrine, and amethyst. And as everybody knows, I'm a firm believer in Moldavite, and he actually had Moldavite. And there are so few stores that ever carry Moldavite.
Right.
And some beautiful, beautiful pieces of Moldavite, and some chakra sticks. And so it was just wonderful. So I went there, and I'm looking around, and I'm having a good time. And it was such a peaceful place to be. So I ended up buying a chakra stick, which has all the different colors of the chakra on it. And if you work with them, you can actually – it helps you determine where somebody's having a pain or an issue in their health. And so I purchased that. And as I'm talking to the man, he's telling me, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, you know, I'm an angel communicator, psychic, intuitionist. I own the Chakra Therapy Center and all this. And he said, oh, you don't have to whisper that here. Because I was talking kind of low. Because, you know, not everybody's open to that.
You never know how people are going
to
take that.
You never know. And he said, you don't have to whisper that here. You're in Asheville. He said, 50% of the people here are spiritualists. So I said, oh, well.
I didn't know that.
Then I do chakra healing. And so he said, you need to go to Black Mountain because there's a Black Mountain sanctuary on top of Black Mountain. He said, and it's the most peaceful place, and they have an energy vortex, and you got to go. And I said, oh, that sounds awesome. Unfortunately, we're heading back today. But, I mean, it sounded great. And about that time, my husband, you know, pops in and says, you know, he's pointing at his watch. It's time to go. We got a 10-hour trip ahead of us. So we all pile in the car. And I, you know, put my seatbelt on. I said, you know, that was really great. And I told him, you know, what I saw in there. And we talked about it. We're heading on the highway. And I said, you know, he told me about this really cool place. Let me take my cell phone. I took out my iPhone. I'm like, I'm going to put this in here so I don't forget the name of it because I do eventually want to go there. It sounds so cool. And so we started to drive. And as I'm entering it into my cell phone, all of a sudden my husband goes, oh, well, I don't want to say what he said. He said, oh, crud, I realize we're going the wrong way. And I said, what do you mean? And I look up. Now, my husband, we call him Mr. Map, okay? He's like a human. I can call him. I'm 5 hours away from home, and I say, I'm at exit so-and-so in such a state, and he'll say, oh, there's a gas station. Go left 2 miles.
He's a human GPS.
It's like bizarre. So for him to go down the wrong direction on the highway was highly unusual.
Yeah, that's unusual.
And as I look up, all I saw was a big green sign that said exit 64 Black Mountain.
Wow.
I know, and I said to him, I said, that's the place the guy was telling me about. And I said, you know, we got to do it now. Now, you know, we've been married for 25 years, so naturally he didn't argue because he knew better.
Smart.
So he pulls off, he says, okay, GPS it. So I GPS the name of the place that he told me, which was the Black Mountain Sanctuary. And by the way, if anyone wants to see the pictures of this place, it's blackmountainsanctuary.org. And after we get off the radio tonight, we're going to go ahead and put it on the website so you'll have a link to it. I'm not going to put it up yet because I know you'll stop listening and you'll go and then you won't hear the rest of the show. But it's really an awesome place. And let me just give you the lowdown on this. It was so cool. So, okay, so now we're driving and we're going down this road and then the road gets narrower and then we turn down another road and it gets narrower and we're going higher and narrower and higher. And I'm thinking, but I know this is right, right? And it's kind of following that internal GPS feeling because I've gotten so good at reading it, I just knew it was the right thing to do. And we get up to this place, and it's this gorgeous, gorgeous, like A-frame log cabin that's massive, okay, on the side of this mountain with two rivers connecting, and it's sitting like almost an island in it.
Oh, wow.
So we pull in. There's no signage anywhere, not a sign on the – And I said to my husband, well, I got to do it. So I get out, and the girls get out, and the dog gets out. And I'm looking around, and all the way down, like to the bottom of the hill, I see a man working on a bridge on a river. He's hammering. So I just walked over there, and I said, hi. He said, hi. And I said, I know this might sound kind of odd, but I felt like I had to come here because a gentleman in town suggested it, and we went the wrong way on the freeway, and your exit, and, well, anyway, here I am. And he looked at me, he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a chakra healing, and I'm an angel communicator. And he goes, well, now I know why you're here. And he gave me this big bear hug. So awesome. I mean, you know, have you ever just kind of touched a person and felt peace? You know what I mean? This guy was so awesome, and it was just, I can't explain it other than to say his name was Bill Spranzi, and so he said, come on, I'll show you the property. It was like he knew we were coming. Now, imagine me showing up with my husband, my two kids, and my dog.
Right,
okay?
And this was not a tourist place.
Oh, no, it wasn't even a sign out there, and so he said, come on, I'll take you around, tour around the property, show you around. So he starts walking us through the most beautiful tree-lined paths. You're going to see it from the pictures I'm going to put up. And, you know, beautiful statues of St. Francis of Assisi, St. Joseph, just absolutely beautiful.
Sounds pretty.
I mean, I'm not kidding. It was just gorgeous. Now, mind you, the one thing I had been thinking about from Gatlinburg over to the Biltmore, which was about an hour and 40-minute drive, was I knew we had the show coming up tonight, and I was thinking about how I wanted to tell people about how to recognize opportunity and connect the dots sometimes. And when you feel that pull, you have to go in that direction. And all of a sudden, we come around a bend on the trail, and here's this cathedral door. Now, you're all going to get to see the door because you're going to see it on the pictures on the website, all right, on my website.
So this is a door connected to what?
Nothing, okay? There's this arched cathedral door with two posts that it's on, and he said, go ahead and enter the door. That's a vortex of energy. Now, I can't go into what all that is now. It's a whole other show.
Yeah, never heard of that.
But I open the door, and I walk in, and there's this circle of tree stumps, and you sit down, and you just calm yourself. It's like a short five-minute meditation, and open yourself up, and you could just feel the positive vibrations. I can't explain
wow.
it. And then, bam, it clicked. A door opening. I mean, I just thought, wow, this is such a great explanation of just following, you know, that internal pull and listening to those guides, those spirit guides, your angels. So here we are in the middle of the woods in this beautiful sanctuary. And then he said, come on, I'll take you down to the river, then I'll walk you through the house. So he took us down to the river, then he took us up to the house, which they had completely remodeled. And it turns out that the gentleman who actually owns the sanctuary, which is John Markham, he had been on a retreat. And just it finally clicked. He finally felt the bliss he was looking for, and he decided he wanted to move out of Georgia and into a mountain paradise, but he didn't want to be far from town. And he woke up one morning with the words Asheville, went to Asheville, ended up finding this place, knew within 5 minutes when he got to Asheville that that's where he wanted to be. And he bought this home, this 835 square foot home. And at the closing, he found out that it was built by the protege of Frank Lloyd Wright, which was really awesome. So this place is so cool. And he's kept the lines clean, and it's carried over, and it looks wonderful. But this place was beautiful. And take a look at the pictures. So we spent over an hour there. They could not have been more pleasant. It turns out Bill Spranzi's wife, Robbie, they had been out about 8 years ago out in California, out in the desert. And she got a message, and she got a message from her angels, and it told her that she was to come back and do healing in a specific way. And she's been doing it ever since, and she has absolutely had miracles occur. It's not like she follows Reiki or chakra. She kind of it's a mixture, and she does it by putting her hand around someone's ankle. And a process that goes from there, and it's just so amazing.
Now, did she do healings prior to that message?
No, I don't believe she did. No, it was something, you know, they were into metaphysics and they were spiritualists, but she had not performed healings prior to that. And this message came to her, you know, just imagine what that had to be like.
Yeah,
you know?
Unbelievable.
So it was such a great experience, and we went to leave, and everybody hugged, and I thought, where in the world can you go, show up at someone's property, you know, like we did?
Yeah, not get shot.
Yeah, right. And they're like, here, give me a big hug. Let me show you around and, you know, namaste. And it was just awesome. It was really awesome.
Very
neat. I really enjoyed it. And that's kind of an example of how you connect the dots. I'm very good at sensing that now. I'll tell you very shortly something that happened to me many years ago. I was on an appointment going to see some clients in Daytona Beach. The clients were late. Now, I had learned early on how to read these signals from my angels, and it's something that everyone can learn to do. And I'm sitting there, and I'm reading the paper, and all of a sudden I saw an ad for a liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that you can fill out paperwork for a lottery for a liquor license in Volusia County. And for some reason, I just felt drawn to that. Now, I'm not a big drinker. Everyone knows. It's just not my thing. And so I thought, I got to do this. So I drove over there, filled out the paperwork, gave them a $100 check for the lottery drawing, and then left and went and saw my clients. And I came home and I said to my husband, oh, by the way, I wrote a check for $100. We're going to win a liquor license. And he just said, yeah, okay. You know, not that he doubted it, because, you know, by this point he didn't. All of a sudden, about 6 weeks later, we get a certified letter in the mail. You won a liquor license.
Wow.
Which, you know, obviously had a lot of value. And I think what my husband said then was, cha-ching, you know. but it's learning how to feel the angels or your spirit guides. They will push you in certain directions. And I think we have a tendency to fight it. Tell me, Jessica, have you ever been in a situation where you know you're not supposed to open your mouth or you're not supposed to do a certain thing? It's like this voice screaming in your head, don't.
Yes.
Danger, Will Robinson, don't do it. But then you go and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it totally blows up in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then afterwards you're like, stupid.
Yeah,
why did I do that? Right. That's your angels. They're screaming to you, and every angel is going to communicate with their individuals a different way, okay? So, like, one may scream it, so you hear it in your head. Another one may be sending up all these red flags you see. Another one may make you nauseous in your stomach, and you just know when you get that feeling, you're supposed to stop right then and there. So you have to learn how to read those signals.
Right.
And I think if you can learn how to read those signals, you're going to be very successful in being able to interpret where you're being led by your angels.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's a way of recognizing opportunity. That's just one of the ways. I think it's so fascinating how communicating with the angels can make your life the most positive experience in the world, but you have to be open to communicating with them.
Right.
We'll talk more on that in a second.
I hope you'll never lose your sense of wonder. Get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leaves you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice, sit it out or dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart lead you bitter. You come close to selling out, reconsider. Your heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or to dance, I hope you dance. The ocean. Every window closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice, sit it out again.
We're back live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Jeannie. I'm here with my co-host, Miss Jessica, and we're talking about one door closing, another opening, and how to recognize opportunities. We're going to talk next on how you can train yourself to recognize opportunities, but I see we've got a ton of calls waiting, and so I'm going to go ahead and take one of these calls right now. I think we're going to go live to Anna. Do I have Anna on the phone?
Yes, you do, and thank you for taking my call. I was so interested in what you were saying about the Black Mountain Sanctuary in North Carolina that I actually went to the website, and I was looking it over. It is beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It is amazing. And you stayed right on the property, did you?
Yeah, went right onto the property, and we were there. Like I said, we just showed up unannounced, and they couldn't have been more welcoming. And they toured us through the entire property. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Did you spend the night there?
No, we were actually headed home that day. And it was just, I can't explain what it's like when you have no plan, but you follow that instinct.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just nothing better. And I can tell you that they do retreats there. They do all kinds of spiritual retreats. And
I never heard of that. Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And if you, I know that we plan on going back, and we will definitely, we're probably going to be giving a retreat up there after speaking with them and seeing the facilities. I can't imagine not doing that with them. It's just amazing. Oh. So there's another open door, right?
Wonderful. Well,
yeah.
I've been going through a lot of doors closing, friends and situations, spiritual groups, just a whole variety of things, and on a personal level. I just wondered what you see, if you see any new doors opening, what you'd be picking up regarding that.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that I definitely see doors opening, but what I also see is that something has happened in your life recently that has caused you to question your self-confidence a lot and who you are as an individual. Is this true?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think because of that, you've kind of stepped back and you're like, now, wait a second. But I also see that you really absolutely know who you are and what you're about. So you know it's, forgive the expression, you know it's not you. Correct?
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's like, it's not exactly my confidence, I don't know how to put it. It is my confidence, but it isn't. You know what I mean?
I still have a wrong sense of myself,
but it's just something has totally knocked me off base.
I get it. And here's the thing I want to tell you. I'm seeing that you came to a decision internally, that a direction you've decided to go in. Is this correct? Because that's what they're showing me.
In one area of my life, I had to make a financial decision. That's one area of my life. The other situations I'm still working on, but I made one financial decision to keep me in place.
I understand. I understand. What I'm going to tell you is that decision that you made, what's being shared with me, is that was the right decision to make.
Okay.
It was absolutely 100% the right decision to make. And they're telling me be optimistic about the future, because it's kind of like that was the dam that had to break, so to speak.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That allows everything else to start changing again, and changing in a forward way. It's almost like your life was put on hold for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
okay.
Almost 2 years while I was working with financial issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So your life was put on hold for a while, and what they're showing me now is you were very brave during this time. There were times you weren't quite so brave and maybe
right.
shed a few tears. But I understand that. But what they're saying to me here is you have made the right decision, and now things are starting to change. The other thing they're telling me is with certain situations that you have going on, they are being really strong in telling me that you have to give your own opinion and say it with love and integrity. In other words, don't be afraid how the message is going to be received. Just know that you give your message with love and integrity. And if you do that, you can ask nothing more of yourself. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what you need to start doing now. You need
mm-hmm.
to start and do it with conviction, honey. Okay? Do it with conviction. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That
anger.
Know. Yeah. you got it. You know what I'm saying. Okay. You're a natural-born leader. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and you
people
know
people don't like that, but I am.
You know, I think we all have a little bit of that in us, and that's okay. So go ahead and do that. And the other thing I'm saying is that, and I'm going to say this, for some reason you have to forgive. I'm not sure who you have. Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Okay. All right.
I'm working on it. It's not easy. Mm-mm.
You know, it's not easy, and I always say time heals all as long as you're making a forward progression. Again,
uh-huh.
the process, right? So it's important
yeah.
that you do that and keep moving forward. And you've been through a really tough time, but what I'd like to see you do at some time at about the fourth month from now, give or take,
mm-hmm.
Is for you to take a little retreat for yourself.
Oh, I'd love to if I can. If you see a financial wherewithal to do that, I would like nothing better.
I'm going to tell you. I do see. I'm going to tell you what I see. I see the opportunity for you to have that retreat. I see that coming, and because I see that coming, I know that it's going to be made possible. How it's going to be made possible, I cannot tell you, but I do see that it's coming, and I see that a healing is going to take place. And I guess you know what that means, okay? That's important because. That forgiveness needs to be put to bed, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, here's the thing. The thing about mm-hmm. forgiveness, and I learned this because this was shared with me about 3 years ago by my angels. I always tell people you have to forgive, you have to forgive. And they said, forgiveness
yeah.
is important. But what's even more important, though, is you let a situation go. You can agree that you don't like what they did. You don't
mm-hmm.
necessarily have to forgive, but you do have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
That's the hard part, yeah.
I know,
mm-hmm.
I know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't mean you're going to say, oh, I love you because you stabbed me in the back and cheated. And, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Right.
But at the same time, what you can do is say, I choose not to allow this to enter my environment anymore because when it does enter my environment, it's not healthy for me. And so I'm choosing to move on from this,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yes.
So that's what you have to choose to do. And when you do that and decide to let it go, that's
mm-hmm.
when the real healing will take place.
I have at one point thought that I had purged it, and then a day or so
back.
Later, it came right back with a vengeance.
You know, I'm a big believer in compartmentalizing things. And when I say that, I mean taking them and putting them in a box. You know, the whole
right.
theory of imagery. I
mm-hmm.
believe in that wholeheartedly. And I've worked with a lot of clients, and it's very successful for them. So
yeah.
if you could put that in a box, or better
right.
yet, you know, a lot of times they say put it on a boat and visually watch that boat go out to
I
sea.
Do the balloon sometimes and see the balloon go up into the air.
I'm going to tell you why I don't think the balloon and the sailboat work as well. I'm going to tell
uh-huh.
you why. because sometimes we, in the back of our mind, think, well, we may need that again. We may need to think about that again, because remember, there's that comfort in looking at that closed door and staring at it, right? There's that comfort. We wrap ourselves in it, and we know that
because
we know it may stink what happened, but at least we know it, you know? We're not fearful of it because we already dealt with it. So sometimes it's better to put it in a box, literally write it all out, get a really pretty box, or maybe in this case a really ugly box. Okay, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and put it into this box, and
the
then you put
box.
The box. Yeah. Put the box on a shelf in the closet, okay? And then leave it there. So you know you could go back to that box if you really have to. But the fact is, the longer you let that box stay unopened, the more you'll be able to move away from it, and eventually you'll be able to let it go. And when you do that, you'll find the peace that you're looking for that has been avoiding you. Okay?
What if... if you have to interact with certain individuals on an occasional basis,
you consider the source. Always consider the source. And what I mean by that is, hear me out. If you, for instance, and I know this isn't the case, but you'll know what I mean when I say it. If you are having to deal with a criminal in jail every weekend, and you go to see this criminal every weekend for personal family reasons, and when you go to see this criminal, he totally disgusts you and it upsets you and makes you nuts because he's a criminal.
Right.
That's not surprising. But you know he's a criminal, so you kind of know what you're getting when you go there. And it's the same thing as the interaction. Right. So let your logic take over. This now is a business situation. Do not attach it to the personal. This has to be because from be able to get from A to Z, I need to do these steps. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So I know what he is. I know, or I know what this person is. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give too much away here.
Yeah.
I know what this person is, and because I know what this person is, I'm not going to let it affect me. Because A, I know it has nothing to do with me. B, I know that that none of this is my fault. And and C, I've done everything that I can. I've turned every stone that I can. And I'm moving forward with my life because I have to continue my life journey, which wish I could have done it sooner, right?
You got
okay.
that. Very
yeah,
right.
I know. I know.
You at some point have been very good so far for tuning in. And at some point, do you see me possibly being in a supportive relationship in my life?
Let me tell you about that. Believe it or not, I'm going to see that you're going to get to the point in the next 24 months where you're actually going to be able to do a very little bit of traveling. And because of that, you're going to have an opportunity to have, and I want to be very careful how I say this, you're going to have a relationship with somebody, but you are now the biggest commitment phobe known to mankind because you do not want to get burned again.
Really?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and you know this, so what I'm going to say is I see you in a long-term relationship that will eventually one day turn into perhaps marriage, but that's not the most important thing to you. There are so many more important things to you that relationship has, such as trust and honesty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that it must have that. And
you
will have that. I do see that coming down the pike, but I don't see it coming for about 24 months. I want to be frank with you there.
Oh,
and that's okay. Because, let me tell you something. If it came sooner than that, you'd be in trouble because you're not ready for it. Because until you have found a way to heal by letting go of the past and finding that peace that you need to find, if the perfect relationship fell on your doorstep tomorrow, it wouldn't work because you're not at the right place for it.
still be untrusting. I mean, I still would be afraid. Yeah. Well,
it'd be like pouring lemon into tea with milk in it. It sours it right away. The milk turtles, you don't want it.
I can barely think of a relationship throughout my life that I've really felt 100% secure in for several big reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's just the last time was just, you know, added to fuel to the fire, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And you're sitting there, and I think one of the things you've got to be asking yourself right now, I mean, you've got to be, is, you know, why do I never feel like I'm in a loving, committed relationship, right?
Right.
And I think you know the answer to that. I think if you don't, you need to do some more soul searching.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about, the red flag?
I mean, well, yeah, when I should know right off the bat, but I don't.
And you do. No, you do know. You ignore.
Yeah.
Red flags, you've got some very strong angels that surround you. I mean, I can see them. Okay? You've got strong angels. What's happening is you're ignoring the signs. When you see those red flags, don't feel that you have to burst through that door. Say, sorry, I think I've entered the wrong door. Shut the door.
Yeah.
And keep walking down the path, okay? Because
I use this term, the frog in the frying pan, by the time I realize I'm burnt. It's like,
right,
exactly. Here we go again. Somebody told me that once, the frog in the frying pan. And I have a cousin who got out of a 20-year marriage about 2 years ago, shortly after she became a breast cancer survivor and lost her home. And he just, he really went downhill, I mean, totally. And she's a psychic herself, and she's very intuitive, and she cannot pull out of this. It's not, she'll still blame herself, but yet she knows it's written all over what he's doing, how he's acting, and how he treated her during her recovery. And we try to boost each other up and say, you know, come on, you can get through this. You're strong and all that. And she'll say, but I can't believe, because I take my commitment so seriously, that he could do this to me.
You know, so, the one thing I will tell you is fear does amazing things for people. And I think that there was a large amount of fear on his side.
On his part, that maybe he would lose her or something. Yes.
And
he didn't feel, he didn't feel strong enough, I think.
I would agree with you. And he felt incredibly inadequate.
And
you might share that with her.
Yeah, I certainly will. That's very intuitive.
Okay.
And
all right, listen, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Tonight.
And
I really enjoyed it.
You're very, very right, spot on getting to the heart of things. And I would love to go up to that retreat. I have to talk to some people, say, don't you want to take a little trip somewhere?
You know what? There's an idea. See, looking for opportunities. I love it.
Beautiful.
I wish you a trip to that sanctuary, and I pray that you will get it. But I do know that within the next 24 months, you will be in a committed relationship. And during this time, between now and then, you will find a way to heal yourself, and you need to do that, okay?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm working on it. I'm trying to find a spiritual home right now where I feel more, you know, connected.
I understand, Anna. Listen, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, sweetie. Thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sweet. Very kind woman, huh?
Yeah, that
very
was great.
Nice.
Wow, you were right on with her.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the connection is so strong that they don't even have to speak at all. You know, it comes right through. But you know what? I think one of the things she needs to recognize is how to train herself and recognizing opportunities.
Right.
Because opportunities are out there for all of us. And, you know, if I said to you that each one of us is constantly surrounded by limitless opportunities, but most of the time they go unrecognized, do you think that you would believe it? Because, you know,
I do believe it because I know in my own life I have a tendency to overlook a lot. Just because of everyday life, you just don't have time to sit and really see what's going on.
Right, exactly. To turn off the road and hit the exit 64, right? You know, I think one of the things that I want to say is one of the things we all have to do in order to train ourselves to recognize opportunity is to figure out what kind of opportunity are you looking for. Do you want to expand your income, find a partner, start a new career, grow your consciousness, you know, establish some kind of meaningful business or personal contact? So you have to kind of ask yourself that. And, you know, what does opportunity look like to each and every one of us? Because it's different for all of us, right? So, you know, no matter what kinds of opportunities you're looking for, if you can't identify them, then they're pretty likely to sneak right past you unnoticed. So you have to kind of identify what are we seeking for or looking for when we're seeking an opportunity. Most people's search criteria is, frankly, so narrow that, you know, they can essentially be blind to what's right in front of them. You know, I always say, you know, you can't see the forest through the trees because you don't know what you're looking for. I've often said to clients, you know, I'm going to give you the keys to the Mercedes-Benz, and you're going to drive out into the main road, and then you go from there. And I need you to get to the right place. And they'll say, okay, I'll be glad to do it. Where am I going? Oh, well, if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what you're looking for, how could you possibly get there?
Well, that's smart.
Right? I mean, it just makes sense. Sometimes opportunities, you know, are hidden from view, but there's visible clues that we can follow. You know, we kind of need to recognize and follow the clues that are going to lead us to the opportunities that we're seeking. You know, like a gold miner, right? A person who mines gold. They don't expect to find it just laying around on the surface of the ground, right? They have to search for clues. They look for, like, favorable rock formations or deposits of, like, metallic ore. And when they find the right clues, then they take a closer look so they know what they're looking for.
Right.
So sometimes opportunity is disguised as something else, and we have to know what we're looking for. My dad always used to say the reason most people fail to recognize opportunity is because it often comes disguised as hard work, which is something else. A lot of times people want things, but they don't want to go through the hard work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to go through the hard work, that's okay, but recognize it and then stop saying, I want this. Because what you're creating is a guaranteed failure for yourself.
Right.
Don't say, I want to become a dentist, but I'm not willing to go to dental school, but I want to become a dentist. I'm so sorry I'm not a dentist. I was supposed to be a dentist. You're setting up failure for yourself. Say to yourself, I do not want to make the commitment to go to dentist school, therefore I can no longer do that, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't sit there and create a failure situation for yourself. But whatever the case is, if we broaden our perimeters a bit and use a little imagination, we can train ourselves to see opportunities that were previously hidden. You know, the one thing I can tell you is people are your greatest source for opportunity. And I'm gonna ask you something. I know you're divorced, and I already know the answer to this question, but for the sake of our viewers or our listeners, how did you meet your first husband?
It's a weird story. I was actually in college, a poor college student, working in a mall, and
mm-hmm.
wasn't crazy about the job I had. Happened to see a little sign in a candy store in the mall and thought, you know what, I'm going to go apply on my lunch hour from the other job. And went over there, met a woman who I just fell in love with immediately, and it, you know, got a job there, ended up meeting her son, who she kind of, I think, finagled the whole thing. She told me she hired me because she thought I'd be perfect for her son.
Ah, okay.
So,
all right, bingo.
But weird, out of the blue,
right? Okay, so this is what I'm going to say. Regardless of what kind of opportunity you're looking for, and write this down, people, there is someone somewhere who's in a position to help you, okay? At that time in your life, were you looking for somebody?
I mean, I was in college. I wanted to meet somebody,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't actively seeking someone.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay,
know?
Right. I say that there's always somebody involved in helping you get the opportunity that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity always starts and ends with someone else, okay?
Right.
I don't care if you have a product to sell or an order to fill. It doesn't matter what it is. Somewhere out there are buyers or sellers that can help you. And I'm talking about that from a business point of view. But if you're, you know, whether it's product, services, guidance, knowledge, your quest will end when you find the right group of people or the right person to represent you. And what I mean by that is every opportunity has a person involved with it,
mm-hmm.
other than yourself. It just always does. So finding the right opportunity requires that we ask the right questions of the right people that will ultimately lead us to the right opportunity. So now what we're talking about is expanding our circle, and a lot of times it's our social circle. And that's why I'm a big one on going for new opportunities. There was a show out there, it was a movie called The Guy with the Rubber Face, Jim Carrey. I think it was called Yes Man. Well, all I know is that he couldn't say no. He wasn't allowed to say no to any opportunity.
Liar, liar.
Oh, was that it? It was awesome. What I liked about it was, of course, it was, you know, to the extreme, so it was a little ridiculous.
Right.
But the point was he was so quick to say no to everything that he never broadened his horizons.
Right.
He never – so, you know, I have sometimes people who come up to me and they say, you know, I'm looking to meet some new people, but I can't, you know, I go out with my friends all the time. I say, you're socializing? Yeah, I'm socializing. I go out every weekend. But you're going out with the same group of people.
Right.
So you're meeting the same people. And if those people weren't interesting to you before, they're probably not going to be interesting to you now, right? So you need to expand your social circle. What does that mean? It means getting involved in hobbies or interests or
mm-hmm.
things you like to do. I talked to somebody today who has decided she loves to read. So she's going to perhaps join a book club that has both men and women who go.
Well, there's a
because
good
it's,
idea.
It's a common bond, a common interest.
Mm-hmm.
But she's expanding her circle of influence,
right.
if you will. So you know, that's kind of important. So if you're looking for employment, then you start by looking for people with businesses that are still thriving. Like, in this economy, I would probably go onto Google and find out what businesses are currently thriving in this economy. And don't start out looking for, like, the exact position that you're looking for, you know, because that's too specific. So, like, if you have somebody who is looking to be a baker,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that he should look only in bakeries for a job,
right?
I mean, because that's too specific. So if your search is too narrow, you may miss out on an opportunity or maybe even a better position that you can anticipate. But find people whose businesses are thriving and look for a way that you can add value to their business. You know, just be creative. Come up with a presentable idea. Run it by them. Like, what can they – I always say, 100% of the time you don't ask is 100% of the time you're going to get a no. But at least if you ask, at least 50% of the time you might get a yes.
Definitely couldn't hurt.
So you only fail by not doing,
mm-hmm.
right? Here's the thing. Even if they don't buy your idea, whether it be employment for you or a product or whatever, they might be impressed enough to offer you something else. You
right.
never know. I was talking to somebody today, and I hope she doesn't mind sharing this. I won't mention her name. I'll just basically give details. I was talking to somebody today who is currently in school for interior design, and she's I actually have to call her a dear friend. She was a client and has just become a dear friend. And she's concerned because she may not be able to get a job in her field with what's going on in the economy. And we were talking about it today, and I said, you know, I think you need to expand it. And what was odd was last night I just was wide awake, couldn't sleep. Might have been because I had two glasses of wine with dinner, and I don't normally drink. So I was downstairs watching TV, and I was watching this show, and it was about people who do estate sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I think you would be perfect for doing estate sales. She has an incredible eye for detail. She knows every fabric, piece of furniture, design. And when you're going to somebody's home and doing an estate sale, who better than for somebody to come in and say, that's a Chippendale, that's a buffet, that's an armoire.
Because right.
some people just don't know the proper terminology or what it's covered with or what time period it's from or whatever. And you need to be able to know that so that you can put it in your ad so that the right people can come to the estate sale. And this was such a great idea because it gives her an opportunity to use her skills, but in an area that's actually, frankly, doing very, very well right now. So it's something she's going to seriously look into.
Well,
and I think that's a good example of how to take and make your search not so narrow, but expand it so that you're using your skills, but maybe in a way you hadn't anticipated using them.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you have to stay in that. You know, you may find that you want to do something else down the road, although I happen to think this is going to be extremely successful for her.
And it sounds like fun,
well.
Too.
I think so, too. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Well, you're all on with the Christian Psychic Cafe. This is Dr. Ginny. I'm here with Miss Jessica, who's having a good time with me trying to figure out how to find opportunities, because we all want to look for good opportunities.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking for them myself.
Absolutely. We all are. We'll be back in two.
Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, what you do to me. Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 1,000 miles seem pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars and walks. If I had no other way, our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same. Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. 2 more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
With the Christian Psychic Cafe, I'm Dr. Ginny. We're going to go live right now to Marianne, who's been very patient waiting. Hi, Marianne. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good, and thank you. Actually, it is just I shouldn't be surprised at this stage, but I know how I was led to your program, because what you've been talking about very much ties into the question I have and what I'm trying to navigate through.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Well, so about a year ago, I was in, I'd been with the company for a very long time. Was working for a boss who I called the boss from hell. She just made life miserable, not just for me, but for everybody.
For everyone, yeah.
Yep, and my job, they kept taking my people away, and the handwriting was on the wall that I needed to make a move. So I proactively went out. I found a job within the company. She let me interview, and when they wanted me for the job, wouldn't release me, blocked me. They tried to escalate it, blocked me. About 10 months later, we went through some downsizing. She gave me a letter. I had 60 days to find a job, and if not, I was going to be terminated. And I'm a single parent with two children, so it was very stressful. But, again, an opportunity. Went out, found another group, and I started a job. It was a year ago in December. Absolutely loved the job, loved the group. Am working like a dog, but it is a job of love. About a week ago, my boss calls me, and the boss from hell has got an opening and wants me for a job back in her group working for her. And things have gotten very complicated. What I found through this conversation was apparently we have a new vice president, and there's some new rules on how many people have to report to you, and if you don't, your job is at risk, and you may be downgraded. And so it was almost like my options were take the safe bet and take a job with her. And I did do some research in terms of how she is, what the job entails, and was told she's gotten harder, not softer. So I made the decision to turn the job down. I think she was stunned, but I think it was the right decision. But now what I'm trying to figure out is, do I just stay put where I'm at and see how things pan out, or do I start looking for some jobs in other areas of the company to try and guarantee that I'm going to stay at my level, because taking a downgrade would be a fairly significant pay cut.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out what path to navigate here.
And that's it's a great question. And first of all, thank you for what you said when you first started talking about how you know you almost led to this, and I appreciate the fact that you said that, because I feel that everyone is led when they get there, and you're right. And I think you actually know the answer to your question, and I'm going to tell you why. You said that you love what you're doing. You love the people you're working for. You feel like it's a labor of love, correct?
Right, I do.
Okay, all right. You look forward to going to work every day, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy what you're doing. You enjoy the people you're working with. You feel like you're making a difference. Now, don't let fear cause you to start bursting through doors like a bull when you don't need to. Remember what I was talking about before, how sometimes we start bursting through doors because we quickly want to make sure that we haven't lost our footing or our grounding because another door shut? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's almost, if you think about it, what you're thinking about doing, right?
Well, I kind of pulled back because I said, okay, first of all, I've got a job. The worst case is, okay, I take a small pay cut, but I'm not going to be out on the street. So it doesn't have the same urgency that it did last time. So I can afford to hang back. I question whether or not they're going to be able to do what they think they're going to do. The other thing is our project is currently not funded, but it is a key project that's getting a lot of talk at the upper levels. So I'm kind of like, okay, you know, if the project doesn't get funded, then it's probably in a little more jeopardy. So I'm just, I'm not in any big hurry to do anything. But like I said, this other group, there is another group that's growing, and I've talked to, you know, you talk about people And I was just sitting on the phone laughing because I called a person that I've known forever who knows me, knows my track record, and turns out that she is the HR executive for our branch. And I'm going, how fortuitous is this? And
wow.
There's actually another group that's growing by leaps and bounds. It would be a bit of an unknown, but I've heard really positive things. And, you know, she's like, get me your resume. I think you'd be a really good match, and I can't see that they wouldn't take you here. So like I said, I'm just kind of a little bit torn because I think this other area is a bit of an unknown, but I think it does have the same opportunity as well. And like I said, the job I'm on right now, the project's not funded, and that's the piece that's a little bit shaky right now.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to tell you that the information that I'm getting when I'm asking my angels, do you move on? I'm getting a no, you stay put right where you are. You're happy where you are right now.
Yes.
Look, there's no certainty in any job.
However, yeah, you're right.
When you can go to bed at night and look forward to what you're going to be able to get up and do the next day, when you can go to bed on a Sunday night and not dread having to go to work the next day like you used to have to do when you worked for the boss from hell, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That is a gift from God. Okay.
Yep.
This makes mommy happy. Okay. And if mom's happy, guess who's happy too? All the kids, right?
That's
you know
true.
What I'm talking about. You remember the difference in who you were then and who you are now?
Well, and it was really funny because I reached out to some key people as I had to make this decision, because that first step, I had to make a decision last week. And one gal, I had my son in for a haircut, and it's my hairdresser, and she said, you know how many years I've known you. She said, you were just a different person when you worked for this woman. And I'm going, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I know this. And so, you know what? Those centers of influence that you have, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
So you don't have to worry. There's no reason to jump out of a comfortable position that you enjoy, even though it's hard work. But you know what? You'll still take that 10 times over having something that may not be so great. You know what you have, and you like what you have.
Right.
Don't risk giving that up out of fear that you may no longer have it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the centers of influence aren't going anywhere.
Okay. If I stay there, do you see it being downgraded?
Actually, what I'm seeing right now is that there's going to be a lot of talk about it being downgraded, and I want you to know that. And I think it's going to get very, very close, but I think in the end it's not going to get downgraded.
Okay.
I think it's going to get close, and I think you're going to get nervous. I'm not going to lie to you.
Great.
But what I do think is that it's going to steadily then change to the positive, and that things are going to go well for you. And I think you probably kind of have a feel for that, too.
Well, and that's my sense. My boss is a little nervous, but, it's one of these, and it's been amazing. I've had this very peaceful feeling of it's going to be just fine.
I always say, and that's actually our topic for next week's show, is how to communicate with angels and to know how you're really communicating with an angel. And believe it or not, that is one of the ways, is when we have this sense of peacefulness, when we should probably be a little nervous, or in the past, if a similar situation came up, we'd be kind of nervous about it, but we just have this sense of peace. That's because the angels are providing that for us, and so you're being watched over. So you don't have to worry. I think you're doing really great, and I applaud you for not jumping ship and going back with the boss from hell.
Thank you.
You made
very
the
much.
Absolute right decision.
Well, good. Very good. Well, on another note, do you see anything coming in the way of a love relationship?
You know, it's not that you don't have opportunity. It's that, and when I say you don't have opportunity, I don't think, and I don't want to put this the wrong way, you're happy with your life. You've got it running pretty much the way you want it to run right now.
Yep.
And, and so for someone to have to come into your life, they really have to be the right fit. yep. or goodbye,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what I can say on that is I do see that down the road you're going to meet somebody, but I want to stress this. You don't want your life changed, and you are no longer about to put up with anybody telling you what to do.
Correct.
Okay? Okay. So because of that, I'm going to say that it's going to take a little while for you to I don't see you in a marriage situation for about another 3.5 years.
Okay.
Maybe 4. And I'm sorry about that. That doesn't mean you won't be dating somebody within the next, between now and 24 months from now. You definitely will be. But I don't see you in a marriage situation for another 3.5 years. Okay? And see, you already know that, don't you?
It wouldn't surprise me. It takes me 2 years to buy a car. So, you know,
okay.
I wouldn't jump into
that.
Something that's serious in less time.
That's wonderful. I actually love that, and I think that I love that. But I think that for you, this person has to be the right fit, and it has to go slow, because anything that would go fast would scare you away, and that's
yep.
okay. So a slow, steady progression in a relationship is the right thing for you.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
So
it's been a pleasure talking with you. How did you find us tonight, may I ask?
Blog Talk. I did a search on Blog Talk and just kind of scanned through and looked at, it's one of those guides. You know, I looked at
you,
the topic.
You were just guided to us.
Absolutely. Yep.
I love it. Thank you so much for calling in. You have a wonderful evening, okay?
Oh,
and don't worry,
too.
You made the right choice with the job.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good night.
God bless. Good night now. What a delightful person.
Wow, and let me tell you that she's happy in her job, and I would kill for that.
Isn't it true, though?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you're kind of going through this, and it's something that we've been talking about a lot lately, that you're looking for a
new
door.
The happiness part of it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The part that I'm searching for.
Finding, and you were one of those people in that position where you had to find a job that paid
mm-hmm.
a certain amount of money because you are a single parent.
Right.
And you know what? I think maybe taking the focus and not making it so narrow,
right.
you know, and we should talk about that tomorrow. You know what? I think we should really talk about
sure.
that, you know, because I think that might be a good idea. One of the last things I want to talk about is when you're trying to look for opportunities, your self-image is the most important thing in the world. And in order to make a huge difference in the type of opportunities that you're attracting to yourself, you need to see yourself as a valuable asset, and you need to present yourself in that fashion so that others see you that way as well. You never want to come off as needy or desperate. Now, you know, some people just have that.
Well, I know, and in job interviews especially, I think that's why people that have jobs get jobs so easily, because they don't have that needy,
well,
I need a job, I need a job.
Exactly, and I don't care if you're looking for a job or a mate or a business partner. Self-confidence encourages people to have confidence in you, and opportunities come to those who instill confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a man, or if you're looking for a female, or if you're looking for a job, or whatever you're looking for, you need to instill self-confidence in yourself so you can instill self-confidence in others, because that's how the opportunities will come to you. And I know that that's a really hard thing to do. I know that, you know, it's something that maybe
well, especially if you've had a lot of things happen in your life to chip away at that self-confidence. Not so
yeah.
easy to just, you know, be the self-confident person you want to be.
You know, I have an answer to that, and it might sound like the stupidest thing that anyone has ever heard, but I can tell you that it worked for me many, many years ago. I used to be very, very hard to believe now, but I used to be an introvert, very shy.
And I find that incredibly hard to ever believe.
I know, but the truth is I really was. And for me to get up and talk to somebody, gosh, I would just die. I mean, I would lose my voice completely.
Wow.
So what we're doing tonight would never have happened. And I remember something my father said to me. And I actually have suggested this to people over the years, and it's worked very successfully, and there's actually, you know, in Psychology 101, there's a method behind this madness. But he told me, he said, honey, I know you're shy. He said, so I want you to pretend you're not. I want you to pretend you're an actress in a role, and pretend you're playing a role, and the role you're playing is somebody who's not shy. He said, and I promise you, if you pretend long enough, you'll become that person. And I used to think, okay, and I would go to school and I'd have to pretend that I wasn't shy, and I'd be shaking, literally shaking. Like I was just so incredibly shy. And I would start to pretend that I was this person that wasn't shy. And so I kind of stepped out of myself, and there was this really bold, self-confident person mm-hmm. there. And after a little while, suddenly that became me. And that's so hard to imagine, you know, but it really
is. Well, I guess after a while you begin to believe it.
Well, it's self-confidence, and that's really all it was a lack of self-confidence.
Right.
You know, I used to think, well, why would anyone want to talk to little old me? You know, I'm not that important. I don't have anything important to say, and it probably sounds stupid if I say it. Well, that's just silly, but that's kind of how I felt.
Well, right.
You know?
And a lot of shy people are the same way.
Oh, I can remember going to class thinking, oh, these people are, they're probably smarter than me, and they have cooler clothes than me, and they know how to put on their makeup better than me, and I was just so shy, and I would remember what my dad told me, and so I would just pretend that I wasn't shy, and the first day it was kind of hard, and I thought, oh, I wonder if anyone really believed that, you know, and then the next day I did it again, the next day, and all of a sudden I wasn't acting anymore, and before you know it, I wasn't shy anymore, you know, and now you got to drag me off stage. So.
Yeah, well, hey, there's...
What did you do?
People should give that a shot.
I think it's not a bad idea. I think it can be very successful for a lot of people. I don't know. Just a thought, I'm saying, just a thought. We'll be back in 2+2. You're back with the Christian Psychic Cafe. Our time is running down now, and I want to get to one more caller. And before I do that, I just want to reiterate what our topic is for next week's show. Next Wednesday night, we'll be coming to you live again from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our topic next week is how to communicate with your angels and how to know that you're actually communicating with an angel or something else that you may not sure what it is, and that might concern you a little bit. So we're going to talk about that next week. That's the topic of our show. If you have any questions about that, go to my website at drginny.com. Please post your comments. You can get a link to the radio show there. You can post any questions you have, and we'll try to answer them. And I'm going to go ahead and go live to our next caller so I can get her in before the show automatically ends in 2 minutes. Hi, this is Dr. Ginny. You're on live. How can I help you?
Hello. Hi, my name is Sheena, and my question was I have a friendship with a special someone. His name is Leroy, but I haven't talked to him in about 2 months. And I was wondering if this was just the end of our relationship, if it just ended, like, you know, or are we going to continue and it would develop into something more?
Right now, I feel like that relationship with Leroy has ceased. I feel like he's moving in another direction right now, okay? And I feel that for at least the time being, that's how it's going to go. And I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but although that may seem like bad news, I think what we've talked about tonight, how one door closes and another opens, that this is going to give you new opportunities to be with the right guy. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you cared for Leroy, but there were red flags, weren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And, Sheena, that's the problem. When there's red flags, we know that the relationship's not right. And if the relationship's not right, time to move on, time to get the right guy. And I'm sorry to be honest, but you know what? That's what we're doing here, being honest. And I think you'd rather hear the truth, right?
Oh, yes. I'd much rather hear the truth than you know, just to hear what I want.
Okay.
But you don't see him running into him or ever, you know,
I don't see a romantic relationship starting back up with him again. I'm sorry, sweetie. And I know our show is going to cut off in 20 seconds, so I don't want you to think I'm cutting you off, but it's a time 2-hour show, so they'll just cut the line in 15 seconds now. So thank you for calling in. Please feel free to call next week. We'll be happy to talk to you and take a call from you then. Everybody, thank you for tuning in live to the Christian Psychic Cafe. We'll come to you live next Wednesday night from 8 to 10.